The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is quad sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spilled the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I just had the entire, like, highs and lows of human experience just browsing through figure skating Twitter for 1 second before coming on air.
Namely, Why would I you saw do a that? Clip.
Well, I was actually, full disclosure, I was going on our Twitter to search hashtag plushie corner to see if there's anything I didn't physically write down, but Amazing. I did tweet about. And I saw a clip from Wakaba's Lion King skate from the Olympics, which is always like, I just have to sit and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, valid.
And then I saw a news thing about how apparently Sasha Trusova threw ice skates at a Terry's head after the Olympics, and I laughed really hard.
I mean, good for her. I still have a lot of opinions, but good for her. I'm not going to distract us a lot about our figure skating, but I just wanted to share that it is 100% fact that our phones are listening to us. This is not a conspiracy theory podcast. I swear to God it's real, because last week, or like whatever, like 10 days ago, I was talking to my roommate who is... He's not a figure skating fan, but he's lived with me for 3 years, so he's more invested than he should be. But
like
he's also
by proxy.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's also on Reddit just because he's like, first of all, a gamer, and secondly into Drag Race. So he's like very much on like r/Drag Race and r/ a bunch of, you know, various games like Genshin and like League of Legends and like whatever. He came into the room and I was so distressed, and I was like, oh, Maddie and Evan had this big fall in their practice for the ice dance event. And he goes, oh, I know, I saw it on Reddit. Because apparently his homepage offers him r/figure skating as one of the things he should be like keeping track of. And he's never once been on r/figure skating. So
where would we even be without Reddit? r/figure skating.
Terrifying. It's terrifying.
I would be unemployed. I would be double unemployed.
r/figure skating is at the basis of a lot of what we do here, realistically. Still a hell place from hell, though. So I don't know how I feel about that being our origin, part of our origin story.
Yeah, I don't really ever go there anymore, but yeah, you know, same. It's an important part of the lore. So shall we talk about Skate Canada?
Yes, let's. My God.
SCI 2023, which makes me feel like it should be a more science-based event, but...
The science sci-fi stands for Skate Canada International.
That's true.
I would be so much better at sciences if it was Skate Canada, not, like, biology.
I believe we wanted to start with women.
I always want to start with women, especially this podium. This podium is so special to me, and I'm very excited to talk about it.
Hell yeah. So we will start with the bronze medalist, Rino Matsuike from Japan.
Oh my God, what a precious child. Before we say anything important, can I just talk to you about her short program dress? Because it's yes. So beautiful. It's that, I think it's that same fabric that I always rave about. It's like liquidy. And it's not sparkly. It just looks wet. And I think it's so pretty. Also, trend alert, we're doing like elbow length gloves this year a lot. And I'm into it.
Yeah, I think like I'm definitely into it. I think it's like a nice alternative to the like shoulder to fingertip long sleeve that turns into a glove, which I'm kind of sick of, especially on the younger skaters. Like, I know it's kind of a junior thing to make your arms look longer, but I think it kind of has the opposite effect and I'm sick of it.
I always like the sleeve that like ends in a little triangle with the middle finger, but that's personal preference and I can understand.
Oh no,
why.
I like that. I just don't want the gloves. I just don't like the fingers. You know
oh,
what I mean?
You
like, don't, I
don't
want
like
fingers
a full...
attached.
Yes, yes, yes. That's valid. That's valid.
Because it makes your arms look like they have no elbow, which is already a problem for a lot of skaters coming out of juniors. It's like it really accentuates the stick arm of it all.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think speaking of people who are out of juniors, Reno has made such strides in her expression and just overall performance. She's always been a joy to watch, but I felt like in this event in particular, it really feels like I'm seeing all of that growth, and that's very, very exciting always.
Yeah, and I love that it's just like, it's just the Nicole Kidman, One Day I'll Fly Away. We're not putting in any of the deranged, like, Broadway things, which you can speak about because you saw.
Megan, in my notes, I have my note says, is this my chance to talk about Moulin Rouge the musical? Because as those of you who follow me on Twitter, it's called Twitter, it's not called X. As those of you who follow me know, when I was in London in September, I took myself to see Moulin Rouge, which is allegedly a musical. I have thoughts and opinions on whether it is a piece of musical theater. But the thing is, Megan, when I tell you, okay, if I ask you to name like three songs from Moulin Rouge, right? You're gonna say fucking Tango de Roxanne. You're gonna say, what else are you gonna say?
I'll say come what may, and I'll say like, well, I guess One Day I'll Fly Away is on my mind, but otherwise I would probably say like the Lady Marmalade.
Okay, so good news. Two of those are in the stage version. One Day I'll Fly Away is not in the stage version of Moulin
Why?
Rouge. Because, Megan, it is a jukebox allegedly musical. I do think it's more of like a big cabaret piece of performance art. I do not
But
think it's
like
musical theater.
if they kept Come What May, then they have already acknowledged that original songs can exist in this universe, so then why get rid of the other one?
Well, because they've had to make several other choices, and I promise you,
They had to.
I promise you I'm not gonna do this a lot, but I do want to point out that, well, several things happen in Moulin Rouge, the allegedly musical. The Bohemians get introduced by an a cappella version of Royals. Lords, royals, will never be royals, etc.
Ew. I don't
What
know why I
else
said
happens?
ew. That was just like I can't explain it, but that was just my reaction to that.
Also, you know when Satine is by herself for the first time and we kind of see like the glimpse of her as like the suffering woman who, first of all, she already knows she's sick and she's just kind of like overperforming and she kind of wants a different life and all of that. In the stage version of Moulin Rouge, this is a very heartfelt, intimate solo moment for our female star to shine. And it's Firework by Katy Perry.
No, what?
Yeah, it's a very sad, soulful Firework by Katy Perry. They did cut the plastic bag line, so it just starts
'Cause
with
did they not
the.
have plastic bags in Paris at the time? 'Cause it's
Apparently,
important that we
yeah.
have the historical accuracy that Katy Perry was there, but not plastic.
What else is insane? Well, a lot of things are insane about this. When Christian and Satine are like towards the end of the second act, when they're like separated and they're suffering about it and blah 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 blah. Basically, immediately after the Your Song reprise, and like. Wait, no, it's before that. It's immediately after Tango de Roxanne. We get a mashup of Crazy, and I do mean the CeeLo Green song, and Rolling in the Deep.
Like, what?
I
Two
need to.
amazing songs, like two of the better pop songs of the last 50 years, but like they didn't need to go in there.
There's so much that happens in Moulin Rouge, the stage piece of something performance art. I will say it was a fantastic night at the theater. It was so much fun. The cocktails at the theater were amazing. It's grandiose and it's gorgeous and the choreo is awesome. It is not a cohesive piece of theater, and some of the music choices that get made are truly unhinged. But I am deeply grateful to Skate Canada International bronze medalist Reno Matsuike for skating to a song that's not in this show so I could talk at you about it for like 5 minutes.
Also, okay, also grateful. I have been waiting to hear about this because you literally were like, we're waiting until it comes up on the pod for me to tell you. So it's been like a months long slow burn of like, I wonder what it was like.
It's so much. I've talked about this before, and obviously like most people know about it because of the TikTok trends and everything, but Tango de Roxanne, one of the songs of all time, which I do think is great to skate to, and despite it having been done greatly in the past, I do think it's still fun. It is crazy to me that no one has skated to the Arendt Fate version, or like any, I guess that's the only cast recording that exists of the Broadway or like the musical version, because it is very much mashed up with Sia's Chandelier.
Again, like... really a masterclass in doing too much. And in that respect, I feel like it's an accurate tribute to Baz Luhrmann, who is the king of doing too much.
It's just so much. It's just excessive. I do think that mashup, the Tango de Roxanne Chandelier mashup, I do think actually works. But this piece of performance art changed me deeply, and I will continue probably bringing it up throughout the season. And my guess is that Reno is going to keep podiuming, so I'm going to have more chances to continue bringing up some of the...
Oh, I love this. Like, every time she podiums, you can, like, tell a different weird little story.
I can tell you another one of the truly, truly unhinged mashups from this.
I was going to say, if there's one thing we need in this show, it's more excuses to tell fun, weird little stories.
Yeah, no, we're desperate for this. I will say nothing could prepare you for the emotional whiplash of beautiful Starlet is by herself, you know, in her beautiful gown. She looks at herself in the mirror and she starts singing a Katy Perry banger. It's a lot. It's special.
I do feel like just watching Karen Chen perform in the past did maybe prepare me for that a little.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe you have more training than people who are not into figure skating, I will say.
Yes. And to bring it back to figure skating, I think that Reno's choice to skate in pink was so bold because obviously like the iconic red dress from that movie, everybody skates in red. It's like whatever, pink, fresh, fun. We love it. The thing that stuck out to me as well from that short was the impeccable jump placement of the combo. Just like, ugh, I just love it when the jumps land on the beat. And like,
yes.
I understand that sometimes you can't get that to happen, even if it's intentional. But when it does, it's an absolute masterpiece. And I love it.
I always enjoy that. And it will come back. This is a little... teaser for later when we talk about the guys, because I have things to say about when jumps fall on the right beat of the music. What else? I'm trying to remember what I wanted to say about her free skate, because I was live tweeting that and I usually astral project when that is happening.
She did, I know, right? No, I think she did the Morricone.
Yes.
And right? And she, yes. There was a lot going on there. It was like a classical cover and some sort of like soulful attempt at like a pop girly cover, all in the same thing. And also, you had opinions about the dress, right?
Fuck, I did. I will share with the people. We were watching, and I was also on tweeting duty, but I tweeted like, guys, what does this dress remind me of? And then I didn't follow up because I remembered, but I wasn't happy that I remembered. And y'all are going to be so mad at me about this, and you can at me right now, and that's fine. This dress is the exact same color scheme as Alina Zagitova's, is it Phantom? It's her Phantom, right? Where she wore the fucking denim the corset. The corset with the beigey cream skirt and the thing. It's the same colors. It's nothing else is similar about it. This is not like fucking Maddie Skeezes. Dress gate, we're not gonna go there, but this I just had like a subconscious response to seeing a denim-y light blue with a cream on ice, and I was like, oh no. But she looked beautiful and she looked so elegant, so I can't be mad about it. I just wish it was a different color.
I think that it was just like the airbrushing was weird, but we know how I feel about airbrushing. I just think it's always a bad choice. Just say no to airbrushing. The thing that freaked me out about it was that it, which is actually kind of objectively cool. She had like a nude mesh thing coming off her shoulders that then like turned into like diamonds dripping off, which is cool, but also kind of made me feel like she had a weird skin disease where she was turning into diamond, which again, very cool. Kind of wish it would happen to me. It did kind of viscerally freak me out. But maybe that's what I want from fashion in a way, you know? Maybe that's what we want. Maybe it was avant-garde.
It was avant-garde. I do also want to shout out that Reno had such a great showing at this event and ended up at the podium, and we're all thrilled about it. She only knew she was going to this event for about like a month because it was announced that she was going to be going on September 29th. And then the event was like on October 29th, basically, because Rika is still injured and we wish her the best. But
we do. Yeah. But yeah, we always stan a, like, she wasn't even supposed to be here moment. She did such a gorgeous job. Like, I feel like we always spend the first few competitions of the Grand Prix series, like, really talking about the costumes because they're new to us. But yeah. I do want to make sure that I shout out that her skating was stunning. And I agree with you that she's really matured, and that in my mind, she's kind of moving over from the category of like the up and comers, the girls who just left juniors, over into the seniors, which is weird that, because Kaori is obviously, and we'll talk about her, but she's obviously like kind of an entity unto herself. Yeah. And it's wild to see like skaters moving up into seniors and being like her contemporaries. And also like, you know, it's an interesting like three generations kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I love to see Reno like succeed in general.
Same. Okay. Should we?
Yes. Speaking of young up and comers in the silver medal second place, in second place with the silver medal is Chaeyoung Kim of South Korea.
She was so wonderful. Honestly, such a solid. We'll talk about the men's field in a tiny bit, but I do want to say the women, aside from some special shout outs that we're going to do on Patreon, were quite consistent. Like the first, second, and third person who were first, second, and third in short program ended up with the bronze, silver, and gold medals. So she just had a very, very solid performance from start to finish. She had like 70.3 in the short. And I do have a question about the short. Well, I have two things. One, about the outfit. We're in seniors. Unless you're Ekaterina Kurikova, I don't want to see you with your tights over your skates. And even in that case, I'm still like, maybe it's time to not. And also, why is Pina having a moment? Is my question.
Why is Pina having a moment? What is this?
I looked it up because I remember seeing the movie and enjoying it and being moved by it. That was 12 years ago, and nothing new has happened with anything about this movie or the score of it or anything else. So I'm just curious about how and why we've ended up here now.
So I know that Audrey Shin, who's the other Pina of the night, two Pinas in this economy, she said she had learned about her in class, like in a history of performance class, and was inspired by that. And then it was unclear to me whether Chaeyoung was also in that class or whether they watched the movie together after as research or whether they watched the movie separately. But it was like a parallel thing where it's like all of a sudden she's somehow back in the zeitgeist.
I'm personally not mad at it at all, but
I'm not mad at it at all. I like more of this, please. I just thought it was wild that they were in the same event.
Yeah, it's interesting when it's something that, and no one did it last year. It's not like, oh, so-and-so did it, so now it's on a bunch of people's minds. It's very interesting to me when things like that happen. But I thought both of those programs, and we're not going to talk about Audrey right now, but I thought both of the Pinas were very, very good. And I'm just curious about how parallel things like that happens, you know?
Yeah, no, I extremely am too. If any of you have the answer and were able to figure it out more like logically than I was. Please let me know. But yeah, no, I loved it. And I thought, yeah, well, not again, not to get into off podium skaters, but I loved it for Audrey. And because I think hers was first, and I was like, oh my God, I love this for Audrey. Like, this is so great. And then Cheyenne came out, and I was like, Cheyenne's is a little better though.
It is a little better.
And I felt bad. But
no, but that's okay.
It's a competition. It's fine. I love Cheyenne. And here's the thing. We all know that I'm generally kind of skeptical of like a very young, like 16-year-old skater. I'm like, they're like a little juniors or whatever. And Cheyenne is a tiny bit juniors. Like, she is very much like 16. But for that general category, I think she's got so much maturity and grace and elegance and confidence. And I love watching her. I really do. And I think that she has that a little earlier in her career than some of the South Korean women who have come before her, like with like Hae In Lee and Yeolam Kim. I felt like I do love them as well. But I think that they just like took a few seasons to really grow on me. And I feel like for me, instant with Cheyenne, I was like, yes, this is awesome.
I agree. I also want to say that I really, really enjoy her free skate. It's a Benoit banger, and we all know I enjoy his choreography all the time. I was also absolutely raving about the dress, and I swear I'm not like a fashion girly, but the skirt on that dress is so magical, and it moved so, so beautifully. And it's just such a way to elevate already gorgeous movement when, you know, the garment on the skater is also moving so beautifully. I just thought it was like such a complete package of a free skate. And I thought it was very, very pretty.
It was. And I love that it wasn't afraid to just be like totally like dead ass serious. Like last week we were talking about how if a skater is going to do a gimmick, I want to see it later in the career. And I want to see them really like commit wholly to just doing like a really dramatic or really like whole-assed skate early in the career. So this is a good example of that. Like, I just love that she was like not afraid to commit to drama, and I love black
but also
and green.
It wasn't like drama that I feel like she's too young for, because sometimes over dramatic in a way where I'm like, I don't buy this from like a performance standpoint. And with
it was intensity
I
is what it was
her to like I just trusted her to like take us on that journey with her, and I enjoyed it very, very much. Also, do have to shout out the skater math that very much worked out in her favor. She was fourth in the free skate, but she did such a fantastic job in the short that things ended up working out for her, and I'm thrilled about it because it's what she deserves.
Yeah, I agree about the costume too. Like, I think green and black, and it's not that I don't like green and black in a Matrix context, but I also like that it's getting a chance to shine in a non-Matrix context.
Yeah. Agreed. I always think it's pretty. It's one of my two of the like three colors I wear, so I always enjoy when I see it on other people. Do you want to talk about my wife?
Always, always I want to talk about your beautiful wife, Kaori Sakamoto, who came in first, surprising no one.
Surprising no one with a 25-point lead overall. My God, what a woman. I mean, what is there to say? She has shown up to not mess around at all this Grand Prix, and I am thrilled for her, and I am obsessed with both of her programs. I sometimes have questions about some of her choices, as much as I adore her. I love that we're getting this like soft lyrical short, because we know she can, you know, cut the judges' heads and pop off. We know that. We know she has like the power and the strength and the presence. It is so nice to see her do a little, and this is not to be like women should be feminine, like whatever the fuck, I'm not doing that, I'm not, but it's cool to see her be lyrical and quote unquote pretty in that short. And it's very moving because it's about family, and I cried a little maybe.
No, I did too. Like, we all know I'm an auntie, like through and through. So I was like, I was crying for sure.
Yeah, I'm not, but I got it from, I felt it.
Yeah, like we in that moment, we were all aunties.
Yeah. And she looked so happy at the end. She like, you know, I always love when a person finishes their skate and just like is beaming about it. And it looked like this one in particular meant a lot for her, and I love that. It moved me.
Apparently, this was the first time she chose her own music and her own programs. So that's really cool. And I think, like, yeah, I guess to your point about her doing something more lyrical, it was interesting because I think it was Mark was saying in the commentary, which shout out to Mark Henretti, the best commentator, where we love you.
Hi, Mark.
He was saying, like, oh, yeah, and it's, like, unusual. Like, we usually see Kaori do these really strong programs. That's what she's really known for.
Yeah.
And I felt, like, 1,000 years old because I remember, like, at the beginning of this podcast when we were, like, wow, Kaori does these beautiful, flowy, lyrical. Like, I'm remembering back to, like, Charlotte Church and, like, the piano. Yeah. And then when she started doing these, like, cool girl, badass, strong programs, I was like, yeah, I love this for her. I love this new Kaori. And then now, apparently, it's, like, we've come full circle.
Oh, God. Yeah, I swear to God, it's not going to be the theme of this entire season that we keep realizing how long it's been. But my God, I do want to say this, the short program dress is a Lissa McKinnon, and she posted close-ups of it like yesterday. And it's not podcast material. I just think everyone should go on Lissa McKinnon's Instagram and just zoom in and enjoy the details, because she does texture in a way that no one else does texture in figure skating dresses. There's just pleating and the one side of, like, the torso that's not the bejeweled part is just so beautifully ruched, and it's shit like that that makes me excited about the fashion of figure skating. And I'm gonna send you, Megan, the link right now, but everyone else just, like, go enjoy it on the internet, because it's stunning. It's so pretty and goes with the whole thing so well.
Yeah, and I love this free skate for her. It's, like, sexy grown lady. It's, yeah, like, why aren't more people skating to Lauryn Hill on Ice? I personally, in a moment of, like, pure ignorance, did not know that Lauryn Hill had a gorgeous cover of Feeling Good, and now I'm angry at everyone else who's ever skated to the Buble. I'm sorry, but that was the wrong choice. The Blue Blue.
Yeah, the Blue Blue Baba. I know that Feeling Good has been, like, a meme in the figure skating community, and I know why, and I get it. But Kaori has once again proven that you can take something that, you know, we might be, you know, when it was announced there was going to be a Feeling Good, I was like, girl, really? And then it was the interesting choice, and it's a different choice, and she owned it, and it's just so good to see her skate with, you know, such conviction. And it's a banger of a free skate. And I think it was when she received her score of 151 for that free skate, that friend of the pod, Mark, was like, and she's doing this in October, which sounds like a threat. That sounds like, you know, /threatening.
Yeah.
151 in October is her power, her influence, the international implications, you know?
Yeah, usually 151 in October is more about, like, drinking Bacardi on Halloween, but...
How dare you.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Wife. I'm a comedian.
Yeah, you should try doing comedy. I think it could really be great for you. Do you want to talk about men? Speaking of things that are a joke.
Yeah.
Bleep blower men or something. I don't know.
The men are menning. I don't know.
The men mend so hard. I will say I missed the short program, the men's short program. Well, I missed the women's as well because I was busy being in drag, because last Saturdays of the month, it's kind of hard for me sometimes. And I looked at some of the result pages at like 5 a.m. from the club, because I'm normal, and I had to be like, what is going on? Because my God, did the men. And then the free skate was just a whole other thing. The amount of movement that we saw, it's just, we're so back. Figure skating is happening. I'm thrilled about it.
It's amazing. So let's talk about this men's podium. In third place with the bronze medal is Italy's Matteo Rizzo.
Matteo Rizzo, God bless him, who was 8th in the short. Cannot stress this enough.
Yeah, like...
8th in the short, 2nd in the free, ended up in bronze, which is boy math.
That is boy math. I love everything about his programs this season. I think he's like really kind of cracked the code of like what works for him.
Yep.
And what captures his best qualities. I think that the short program is giving like
genius.
It's giving like Cunty Priest in a Lady Gaga video.
First of all, I can't wait to see this program skated to the best of its quality. I think it will be an all-time banger. This is one of my favorite songs. You know when you have songs that are like, those are not your favorite singers, but it's a song that like anytime you hear it, you fucking pop off?
That's yeah, and mine. There's been a lot of those this year of like random deep cuts that I randomly discovered in like 2015 at 3 a.m. because Spotify suggested it to me and it's been in my rotation, but I've never spoken the name of the song aloud to another human being. Yep. And I thought maybe I made it up. And then like someone will skate to it and I'll be like, what? This has been happening to me repeatedly this season.
That is so, so funny. I'll read you my actual notes. And once again, I'm not making any assumptions about anyone's sexuality or anything. I'm speaking from the experience of what this skate was like. My note is, no one gets gay little Eurobangers like Mateo. Like, he just gets it.
It's true. And I think that I think he's realized that, like, songs that are either literally Eurovision or feel like they could be in spirit is, like, his, it's like a good look for him.
It really works. Speaking of looks, what is that costume?
I mean, I told you it's a Cunty Priest and a Lady Gaga video. I don't know what else there is to say. It's a very specific.
Yeah, but the thing is, with the amount of lines on the chest, it looks more like a child's piano costume than a Cunty Priest. Like, I'm not opposed to Cunty Priest. Fleabag voice, whatever. Why is it like that?
The two genders. Hold on, I need to see a picture of it again now. And Matteo Rizzo, 2023.
Cunty Priest, 2023.
Cunty Priest. I'm just seeing the pretty lacy carpet costume. Why is no one putting up the corset pictures?
It's a bunch of black bars. Also, it looks like he's wearing a little shrug or a bolero, which I'm not opposed to. And I think it should just be that in some capacity.
I will say, I just watched Black Swan the other night, and I forgot about the line where Barbara Hershey's like, the shrugs, get your shrugs. And so I've been thinking about it like nonstop.
Get your shrugs.
It's like, you have so the pink one and the blue one. Shrugs. We'll cover it with shrugs. And it's like, I don't know why. It's like pure camp to me.
You're so right. You're so right. What else?
And also, apparently, it was World Ballet Day on Halloween, and I didn't know when I watched. I watched Black Swan. But very fun. Not very fun for him, but will be fun in the future for us.
Will be fun in the future. The triple axel placement is genius, I will say. It's so good. The way it lands, the way it launches before the change in the music and then hits right when the music changes. This is what I was talking about earlier, that nothing I love more than when a jump just, you know, makes musical sense and not just.
When the jumps are jumping.
When the jumps are jumping. About his free skate. Do you want me to just read you my notes?
First of all, I do.
It was wonderfully done in terms of a fight that he put up. Clearly he wanted something better than his short, and he showed up and performed. My notes are as follows. Number one, I desperately wish the pants were different, but the back of the shirt rules, and I stand by that. I think the shirt is beautiful. I am sad that this costume came with black pants and black gloves, because I do feel like it could be, you know, a all dark blue situation. It would be gorgeous. And then the rest of my notes are, why Coldplay? And then, this is fine. And that's how I feel about it, I think. It's just, this is fine.
Oh, see, I had like a very different reaction to it. I did love the costume. I agree with you about the pants. It didn't bother me at the time because I think dark blue and black is one of my favorite combinations. But I'm looking at it now and I agree with you. It's like that particular shade of like purpley blue with black. It's like, it's too close. Like, it should have just been one thing. But the wings on the back are genius. I also love the weird like abstracted skinny tie in the front. I don't really get it, but I love it.
I have questions about it. I would have liked it, I think, the front of it, if... honestly, if the pants were different, because right now it looks like he's wearing a gorgeous, gorgeous costume on top, and then the pants weren't ready, so he had to put on just like generic black pants. Like the
maybe that's the case. Is his mom making his costumes again? Like maybe she has a day job.
Maybe she has a day job. Look, if it's his mom, and pants will be made, I'll be fine with it, and I will apologize to, I'm assuming, Mrs. Rito. But as of right now, I'm just kind of, I don't know. I wish it was different. I hate that it's Coldplay. It's very hard for me to feel anything about this.
I feel like so neutral about Coldplay in general. And I think that this, I think Fix You is very overdone.
Yep.
I think that, I will say though, like, this is the first time I've really seen a Fix You since the Shib Sibs, where I really felt like it was a good choice for the specific skater and not just like, I don't know, let's just spin a wheel and pick something. You know, I really think it was a good choice for him. I feel like this specific like genre of like earnest, anthemic, kind of outdated pop, I don't know, like it fits the way that he skates to me, like that really like sincere, earnest quality. And I don't know, I just, I thought he did a really good job with it, and he made me feel like, I think he picked Coldplay because it was a medley, right? It wasn't just Fix You.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think, but it's mostly that.
Yeah, I don't know, I think that like it sort of spoke to his little rock and roll sensibilities a little bit. I don't know, I thought it really worked for me, but I was surprised it worked for me, because I agree with you that it's like, why Coldplay? Like, what a weird kind of overdone choice. I thought he did a really good job with it though. I liked it for him.
It's hard for me to connect to a skate which starts with, when you try your best but you can't succeed. And I've had this problem, and I've had this problem since the Shib Sibs. So it's just a thing for me, I think. Just like, it's,
that's okay. Just the other day I was,
dissonance thing, I guess.
Well, I was at Open Skate the other day and they were playing a song, and I don't know what the song was. But the lyrics were, this is just a warning, you will fall, you will fall, you will fall. Oh, and I was like, no. Must we? Like, this is so rude. This, so I feel that.
So much like sometimes, your Bond take that about Skyfall.
Yes, I do think that I think that Bond needs to put out a movie called, like, Time to Land. Or I was actually, I feel validated, because I was thinking in my head, like, Running Edge would actually be a really dope name for a Bond film. And then I made this joke to a friend of the pod, Jules, who I watched a lot of this with, and she said Running Edge would be a cool name for a Bond film. And I was like, thank you, parallel thought. We are like the Pina Bausches of pretend Bond films.
And I do also enjoy that you're saying Bond should put out a film, as if James Bond is a person who's just producing autobiographical series of films.
He is, and that's why it's okay to talk about, because it doesn't fall under the writer's strike and the actor's strike. But this is my fictional Bond film where it's not about falling and everyone skates to it and it's fine.
Yeah, I think we deserve that.
One more thing I want to say about Mateo is, like, in the kiss and cry, when he's like, hi, mommy, hi, daddy. Like, every time it gets me. I don't know why.
Well, the man wants to say hi, and I respect it.
He wants to say hi to mommy and daddy. And, like, I just love it. I just love that for him. Even though his dad is, like, right there. It's fine.
Well, you never know. Okay, kill this bit. I'm gonna say something. I'm not gonna. Kyle Muro won silver.
Okay. Well, you know what? Look. We can talk about a short program. I caught some heat on Twitter, and by that I mean like three people politely corrected me.
You were severely bullied on the internet.
I was severely bullied by like two or three really polite people. about making a comment about him wearing a harness, and that's fine, but we can start with the short program.
I was sad about his doubled toe loop, because it seemed like it was going so well. Am I going insane, or is this, okay, I'm trying to be sensitive, is this program about car accidents?
Elaborate.
Some of the instrumental in this song, some of the orchestrations, sound to me like a bunch of revving engines and then a bunch of what is it called, like when you skid to a stop, like the brakes, And I don't think, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's meant to be that. But also it's a Benoit, so I would not be surprised if there's some convoluted story to it.
Yeah, I don't think that's the original intention behind the piece, because it's Olafur Arnalds, who just does like ambient Icelandic nice things. But it is Benoit, and Benoit probably did come up with some ridiculous thing and added a bunch of royalty-free sound effects to it, and that's fine.
But did you hear that? Did you? Did you think it was a bunch of engines? Because I watched it and I went back because I was like, wait a minute, is this engine sounds or is it some sort of, you know, instrumental thing that I'm missing? And it sounded like it could be either the first time, and then it happened some more, and then some of it sounded like breaks. And I might just be going insane, and that's okay.
I really will listen for that for the next time. I do think they should consider this an audition for the Fast and the Furious franchise. I would love to see like a little 4'11 dude in there mixing it up.
I would respect that very much. Also, he's apparently 5'6".
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just realized I was looking at the heights of the women on the podium.
I would respect if he was tiny, but he is apparently not.
Well, I'm 5'6", so I guess, and that's the only reason they didn't put me in the Fast and the Furious is because I was too tall.
Yeah, regrettably, you just have to be a very, very tiny dude to be in that franchise.
Yeah, it's true.
Talk to me about anime, Megan. Do you want to redeem yourself?
Okay, said no one ever. Yeah, okay. So I'm
right now.
As we said last week, we kind of keep away from the programs prior to the Grand Prix series so we can be surprised at what gender all of our children come out as. And so I didn't know what his plan program was. And he skates out in a harness. And I said, who gave him a harness? Because in my mind, he is a child. He's like 18. And I guess, I don't know, on your 18th birthday, maybe they give you a harness. I'm not sure. But that's how it happens. Well, I think it is how it happens on the plot of Attack on Titan, which is apparently the anime that he is skating about. And I did not clock that anime reference. And everyone was like, oh my God, Megan, it's Attack on Titan. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my life is more about people who would wear a harness on like a Wednesday night at the gay bar than like people who would be fighting giant baby people. Maybe that's okay, but
no, I have no idea what Attack on Titan is about. I'm afraid to ask, and I will not be looking it up.
Okay, I'm gonna explain it to you, but it's gonna be like low-key drunk history because I watched the first season 10 years ago, maybe like seven years ago, and it was like the summer before we met. I had a really bad stomach flu and I was like on a ton of medication, and I was watching it in Japanese with English subtitles, but also I couldn't like focus my eyes. So I was like, I think I kind of got what was going on, but it's okay. So I'm gonna give you a summary. So it's about a bunch of German children, but some of them are Japanese. And also all of them are Japanese. And they live inside of a city that is comprised of concentric walls. And the city is like the last stronghold against the Titans, which are big, huge, naked baby people.
Okay.
And I say this because they kind of like amble around like toddlers, but they're like kaiju sized. And some of them are naked. All of them. Actually, I think all of them are naked. Some of them have no skin, and they want to eat people. And here's the thing about it is that on the surface, I think it's such a fascinating idea to be like, what's an area of like folklore that we haven't found a way to make truly modern scary yet? Like giants eating people. I feel like we have kaiju, we have mecha, but like, do we really just have like a big dude? Not really. This is how we're exploring this, and I appreciate it. However, all I remember really is that at one point they're all like hanging out inside of a stomach, and I remember being like, "Wow, this sucks. I have the stomach flu. I don't want to watch this."
Oh, that was like targeted for you, and I'm sorry that it was. Sucks.
But they all wear harnesses, and apparently it's like a tactical thing because they all like rappel around so that they can like do like Tarzan bullshit to climb up the Titans to kill. I don't know. I didn't really understand it. But anyway, apparently it's not a sex thing.
I respect it. I appreciate a practical harness.
Most of my exposure to Attack on Titan has subsequently just been like people I follow on Twitter being like, look at this horny fan art I drew, in which case it kind of is a sex thing. So how do I know? I don't know.
Yeah, you've been lied to by the internet. And
it would be the first time that's ever happened.
I wonder if I've seen Attack on Titan fan art without realizing. I never know with the anime because I don't know any of it. Well, we all know that I have very limited anime knowledge, and that's not one of them.
I was really proud of myself for being bullied for not knowing an anime, because I spent most of my life being bullied for knowing too much about anime. And so I really, so again, not to be like full circle, but it really was like a, you know, Kaori returning to lyrical moment.
Thrilled for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should say that, like, it was great. I don't really understand.
Oh, it was awesome, yeah.
I don't understand how it related to the anime, but people who I know who have seen it said it did and it was great. Apparently, the reason that he did that was because Shailen Bourne, in an attempt to, like, get to know him, was like, hey, what do you like? What do you do for fun? And he was like, I lay in bed and watch anime. So I love that Shailen met him where he was.
Respect that so much. He won the free skate with that. We have to say he showed up. He didn't enjoy being fourth in the short. I think he really wanted to be on that podium, and he worked so hard for it. He did have a very nasty fall on his triple axel, and I was worried.
It was so scary. It was like he went full like splat.
I was worried about his face, but I'm sure he got up and he skated great after, and I'm sure if he was worried, he hopefully spoke to someone about it.
Yeah.
Also, wait, I have one last thing to say about it. It's another one in the bingo for 2023 of finishing your program right at the judges' faces. He was right.
Yeah,
up
but
there.
He did it so politely. I loved it so much because he like did it like very politely and then immediately bowed and was like, thank you.
Yeah. It's like so, you know, high energy and aggressive, and then he's like, okay, that's it, thanks.
I'm so sorry, my coach has made me do this, thank you for your time. So good.
I am obsessed. I love him. I'm excited to hopefully see this without the terrible fall in the axle, because it's a great program. I have no context for it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I will continue to have no context for it, because I don't know if I want to watch the stomachs show again, but yeah. This is what it's about to me, is about Kaomiura. The end.
Agreed. Sato Yamamoto won the whole thing. He was third in the free, but he was so beautiful in the short program that the boy mathed its way to seeing him at the top of the podium, which I always love for him. I think it's what he deserves.
I am just so happy that we get to see, like, a skater who's been around for ages just continue to get better and better and better, to recover from injury, to really show what they're capable of, and to have good programs this year.
I don't know how I feel about either one of them. I'm going to be honest. I enjoy his short. It's always hard for me to connect with, like, a funky jazz number, which is weird because I am a swing dancer, but there is always something about it where I'm like, are you doing this because you want to show us versatility, or are you actually having fun? So at the beginning of it, I was a little bit hesitant, but he won me over. I think he skates it with so much like energy and a wink to the audience that I enjoy. And he also looked so handsome. It's in my notes.
He did. I love his like collarbone cutouts. They're just like so great. I've seen it a few times over the course of like just various skating costumes. Yeah. It's like a trend, but he's like the perfect choice for it. I loved this. I thought it was kind of like Keiji Tanaka adjacent in terms of like the weird, goofy, like, I'm a grown man and I'm sexy, but I'm weird and I'm skating to fucking weird music and it's great. I love it. I love that. I love this for him. And then my hot take on that I'm finally ready to share on this podcast is that I like Exogenesis and I've never once been like, ugh. Like, I like it pretty much every time. I'm like, cool, cool song. I like it.
I also like that song. And I think I've always said I like that song. I do.
Because you're brave.
Yeah, I'm so controversial and so brave. I wanted to ask, there is a moment where he does like a change edge, spread eagle, bestie squad kind of moment. and it's right on the big let's start over notes. And I don't know how I feel about it. It's just very weird because it's this like big sustained note and he's just kind of crouching about it. So I was, because the rest of his lines are so beautiful and long and like everything's so gorgeous. And then there's just like a moment where he's squatting down on this big note. And it gave me pause.
I was too busy making jokes about it. I'm sorry, because his pants are not as tight as they were last year, but they're still not not tight. And it's funny to me if somebody in really, really tight pants is squatting and like gesturing like in such a way that it's just like, oh, I don't know. It made me laugh and I was making immature jokes about it. I'm sorry, Soda. I'm sorry. But until you wear parachute pants, I am going to make crass jokes to my watching companions about your pants.
My other question about his choreography, which is the rest of it, again, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And I think it works for him so much. It's a Kenji Miyamoto, and I think it's great. Right before the step sequence, he has a moment where he looks like he's pantomiming opening a door.
Yes!
And I'm not opposed to it. I just want to know if there is a storyline that we should be following.
So that made me laugh so hard too, because I was watching it again with Jules and Jules's husband, Joe, who doesn't really follow figure skating aside from just being like the spouse of a person who follows figure skating. Yeah. And so he'll say things sometimes that are not like technically informed, but like really funny. And at this point, he was like, I don't know what that was. And I just assumed that like his blade got stuck and he needed to fill like 1 or 2 seconds. And so he just improvised.
I would love if that's the actual what happened. I love.
And his instinct was like, I don't know, pantomime.
His panic response being pantomime. I love Who that. Among us? That's very
it's
funny.
Very theater yeah. school trauma. He's one of us.
Anytime I get stressed out, I just start walking to fill the space, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm just so happy for him.
Yeah. the one brain cell we have is just so happy.
It's just nice to see him win.
Event. Yeah, this was a good event. It was very chaotic. I do want to, last time, I promise, shout out a friend of the pod, Mark, who at the very end of the men's free skate referred to the event as exciting, if a little disappointing with regard to some of the performances. Which I think is such a good summary of men's figure skating. And I say that with utmost respect for every single one. Well, for 99% of those men. It's just so funny to be like, look, some of this was a mess. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, those are not contradictory ideas.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what I want it to be. And I, at this point, we're 2 events in. I could not tell you what's going to happen for the rest of the Grand Prix. And that's how I like it to be. It's fun for me. It's exciting.
Yeah, and I feel like I've reached a point of experience and maturity where I'm not foolish enough to try to predict.
Yeah, there's people who are doing like fantasy scoring and stuff, and they're so brave. I see some of y'all's tweets, and I am deeply impressed because you could not pay me to make an educated guess at all.
Also, another confession, I don't understand how I don't understand how fantasy sports work, and I never have, and I never will. Even the sports that I understand, like how the sports themselves work, I will see like a spreadsheet about fantasy skating and being like, I don't know what these numbers mean. Like, I don't have room in my head for it. I'm sorry.
I've never done it. I've like looked into it. There was a moment last year, I think, where I thought I was going to be brave and do fantasy skating. And I'm not smart enough, I don't think.
But this is not like a dig at it. I think it's the coolest thing ever. And I think people who do it are actually so much cooler than me. I'm just like, I feel stupid because I don't get it.
I wish I was involved. If someone wants to give us the TLDR, I'll be happy to learn. And then continue to be impressed by how much I can't possibly think about it.
Yeah, maybe for next year we can do a bonus episode like pre-season about like how to get into it. That would be fun. We should get somebody on.
That would be fun. Someone please tell us.
Yeah, exactly. Plushies were good. It was less consistent than Skate America, but there were some real standouts. Namely, Star Andrews got a Dino Nugget plushie, which I have never seen in my life before, and it was innovative.
She also got a gigantic plushie in the free skate where a 30-year-old adult with a master's degree had to be tweeting like, "What is this animal? Is this a horse?" Because it looked like a unicorn to me, but it didn't have a horn, so I was confused and I was like, "Is it a cow? Is it a hippo?" And then one of our lovely listeners and like Twitter followers was like, "Oh, it's a giraffe," and linked me to the person who threw it for her because I can't, I'm so sorry, I can't find who had this interaction with me right now. But I was very embarrassed because I couldn't recognize that it was a gigantic giraffe. In my defense, it was white and covered in little stars, like colorful
It was a
stars.
magic giraffe. I
Yeah,
don't know.
it was not giraffe colors, so I was stupid.
Well, listen, I think, it's a very common mistake to think that a unicorn, but it has doesn't have a corn, is a hippo. That makes sense to me. I don't know. Just is.
Yeah, and
But
because it was like rounder, I was like, this cannot be a giraffe because it doesn't have a long neck. Anyway, I'm not smart. What else happened with plushies, Megan?
Laranaki Gutman got some Kirbys. That appears to be her thing. I didn't know that. That's very cute.
I love
There were a
Kirby.
lot of little like plush flowers and pots that were very cute. Rinka got some sort of caterpillar situation. Cowrie received a scone that said Cowrie scone. And if again, if any of you understand this joke, can you please explain it to me? Because I love it so much, but I feel like it's a pun that I don't understand. Or a reference to
Sorry.
something. Did she like tweet about scones or something? I don't know.
I could not tell you.
Anyway, also, Liam Kapakis got a Hello Kitty heart pillow that, like, this is okay. I'm so sorry, but like, the first thought I had when I saw it was like, this is something that would go inside a little girl's coffin. But
Oh, God, Megan.
it was that material. It was that like shiny, shiny satin. And I'm so glad
Oh.
that it, rather than being in a little girl's coffin, it was in Liam Kapakis's arms. That was a superior place for it.
A great way
Kaori
for
got
a
a
pillow
little.
to end up.
Sorry, cow. This is so awful because for years I've been abbreviating Cowrie as cow in my notes, and now it's completely throwing me off that we have a cow. Cow got a little red guy who I didn't recognize. Kazuki got a dog and some what I think may have been a sandwich. And Soda Yamamoto, over the course of this short program and the free skate, got two pillows with himself on it. So I said he can put them on his sofa, Yamamoto. What if we kissed on the sofa, Yamamoto, and we were both Soda Yamamoto pillows? Think about that. Chew on that. And
Consider
finally,
it. Imagine.
consider it. Imagine. And finally, Matteo Rizzo won the Katya Kurikova Excellence in Plushie Retrieval Award for knee sliding into a plushie scoop, which we love to see. And we love it even more because it did appear to be intentional and not painful or embarrassing.
It's his like trademark little knee slide. Speaking of Katya Kurikova, she has been apparently assigned to the Cup of China, so we're gonna get to see her.
Hell
News
yeah.
as of like today, so we're gonna get to see her. And hopefully the entirety of her boots some more over the course of the Grand Prix.
That is not what I thought you said.
Hey, we're
Okay.
in France like tomorrow.
We are. Oh my gosh. Okay, zut alors. Okay, so before we go, we want to thank you for listening and
Yes.
joining us. We want to let you know that if you want some extra content, you can join us over on patreon.com/iceteapod. Is that our URL? It's been a minute since I've had to say
That
it out
is
loud.
our URL, and
Yeah.
that's where we're gonna be talking about all of our honorable mentions. Now that we're two events down, we are gonna do a little honorable mentions for those events. And there's 4 years worth of backlog in there of all kinds of things that you can join us and support and keep the lights on in the metaphorical studio with. And Megan, please, please, please give me the list. Give me all of those wonderful, beautiful, my favorite people.
The people that we want to thank today are Brooke, Richard, Michelle, Vicky, Laura, T, Christine, Ria, Elizabeth, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Bethany, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra in Winter, Alina, Margaret, Robert, Annie, Vox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan.
Thank you all so much. You're my favorite people. You really, really help us out, and I hope you're enjoying our glorious return to your main feeds. Like I said, we will be back with France starting literally tomorrow. I'll be on tweeting duty for most of it, And if you want to stay in touch in other ways, you can find us on icedteapod.com, where you can find all of our links to other places should the hell site finally go under, you know, in the dark of night without us ever being able to say goodbye on the air. Megan, are you anywhere on the internet as a person nowadays?
Yeah, I'm at the same place. I'm at MeganKelleher3 on Twitter. I'm on Blue Sky, but I forget my handle. But if you go to Twitter, you can find it. And I'm on Instagram, I think, but I forget if I'm private or not. I don't know. I'm bad at social media. Just find me wherever you want. Just think about me and I'll appear. Yeah, it's like
find her on the streets.
Yeah, it's like that commercial, the insurance commercial where you like sing a tune and they just appear. Where are you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie, like literally everywhere in the internet. Blue Sky, Instagram, Twitter. My website, it's all Netta Marie, that's NEDA. And you can find both of us at IcedTeaPod on Twitter and IcedTeaPod.com. And coming very soon to Blue Sky, we're great at social media and we're thrilled to be chatting with you wherever you want to follow us. We'll see you in France.
See you in France. Goodbye, everybody. We love you. See you soon.
Bye.